Israeli military launches deadly aerial and ground raids in the West Bank city of Jenin, with Palestinian fighters taking up arms to defend themselves. Iran warns Israel against any criminal adventurism in Jenin, saying what is happening in the occupied West Bank is an example of state terrorism by the regime. And thousands of Los Angeles area hotel workers kick off one of the largest U.S. hotel strikes in recent history, demanding better wages and benefits. Hello and welcome to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. The death toll from Israel's latest military incursions into the occupied West Bank city of Jenin has risen to 8. Dozens of Palestinians were also injured, some of them critically. Jenin was hit with a series of drone strikes last night. The main target was a refugee camp, which houses over 14,000 people. A massive ground operation is also underway. In response, Palestinian resistance fighters took up arms to defend the city. According to local media, resistance fighters have downed an Israeli drone. 2 Israeli soldiers were also reportedly killed and 3 injured. Meanwhile, a general strike has begun in the occupied West Bank in condemnation of the attacks. Meanwhile, regime forces also killed another Palestinian in Al-Bir, Ramallah. Well, staying with this story, Israeli atrocity has drawn reactions from Palestinian resistance groups. They are calling for retaliation against the regime. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh has called on residents of the West Bank to stand by Jenin and defend its people. He said Palestinian people and resistance fighters know how to respond to the barbaric aggression. The Islamic Jihad movement separately said the aggression against Jenin will not achieve its goals. The group warned that all options are on the table against the regime. And the Joint Command of Palestinian Resistance Groups also said it is ready for an immediate response if the Israeli military continues its crimes. Meanwhile, the Palestinian presidency has described the Israeli attack as another war crime. Palestinian Foreign Ministry has also demanded urgent international intervention. Iran has also called the latest Israeli attacks on Jenin criminal acts of adventurism.
This is a criminal move, a clear act of adventurism and state terrorism. The Palestinian nation has done nothing but defending its legal, recognized, and natural rights.
A spokesperson of the Palestinian Alternative Revolutionary Path was earlier with us and shared his thoughts on why the Israeli military conducts such large-scale attacks on the occupied West Bank. Well, as I said earlier, that the spokesperson for the Alternative Revolutionary Path was earlier with us. Let's hear if we can hear his thoughts on why the Israeli military conducts such large-scale attacks on the occupied West Bank.
It's Israel crimes and atrocities, and it's the largest military campaign war. Absolutely, it's a war against the Palestinian people in the city and the refugee camp of Jenin. Why Israel is launching this military campaign on this large scale? One, they want to end the Palestinian resistance in the northern part of the West Bank, because they want to be able to annex the West Bank, particularly the Palestinian Valley. The second goal of this military aggression is that it will keep the coalition government of Netanyahu intact and united. And at the same time, Israel feels that the Palestinian Authority is very weak and it cannot do the job. The entire purpose of establishing this authority is to be puppet for the Israelis, and so they can conduct their dirty business. Now, the Palestinian Authority is not being able to do that due to the growing strength of the Palestinian resistance.
Well, Tehran has categorically condemned France for hosting the anti-Iran MEK terrorist group and warned Paris against the political and legal fallout of continuing to support the entity. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman slammed France for hosting an MEK gathering at a time when protests fueled by political and social discontent have gripped the country. Nasser Kanani said the move shows that Paris turns a blind eye to its own citizens' demands and continues to give political support to terror groups. He underlined that the terrorists who have committed heinous crimes in Iran will definitely not hesitate to betray their foreign backers. Kanani also urged French officials to address the root causes of the problems, including their racist and biased treatment of citizens. Meanwhile, Iran hailed a recent operation by Albanian police against the MEK terrorist group. Well, it's been 16 years since the launch of Press TV Channel. The platform says it wants to be a voice for the voiceless and has tried to be an alternative for the vast and wealthy mainstream media corporations. Now, despite multiple attempts to shut the channel down, whether online or on air, Press TV is still standing tall 16 years on.
Hello, everyone. It's 8:30 a.m. here in Tehran. You're watching the news here on Press TV. A warm welcome from me, Hassan Tabakovi.
And from me, Saeed Purza.
Press TV News Network was launched in July 2007. It is Iran's first 24-hour English news and documentary network. To try to provide a different narrative against what is produced by the mainstream media is not an easy job. That's what Press TV has been trying to do all along. The coverage of issues like the Israeli regime daily atrocities in the occupied Palestine, U.S. war crimes in countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S.-backed Saudi war on Yemen, and the very fact of hypocrisy on the part of the so-called mainstream media has brought Press TV on the wrong side of many people. It also offers a unique perspective into social issues in Western countries like the US and a fresh viewpoint into news about Iran. By offering a platform for Iranian voices and perspectives, Press TV contributes to a more comprehensive understanding of Iran and its role in global affairs. Press TV has faced hardships and bans since the very first day of its launch. Perhaps the most notable of such bans was in June 2021, when the channel's web domain was seized by the United States. In fact, by shutting down Press TV, the US decided for 1.4 billion English-speaking people on the planet that they can no longer watch and listen to news that goes against the US narrative. It has also been taken off air by Eutelsat, SES Astra, and Galaxy 19 satellites over sanctions imposed by the EU and the US. Its Facebook page with over 4 million followers was arbitrarily removed. Its entire YouTube channel was deleted and banned from using Google services. And in 2012, it was taken off the air in the UK by Ofcom, Britain's telecom regulator. To challenge the narratives of the Western mainstream means Press TV has to swim against the stream. This has not been easy for the past 16 years, but as long as its audiences are growing, Press TV says it will carry on giving voice to the voiceless.
Well, thousands of hotel workers in the U.S. state of California have walked off of their jobs, demanding higher wages and better benefits. Workers picketed outside major hotels in Los Angeles and in Orange County in general on Sunday. They argue that their salaries don't match the high cost of accommodations as they can't afford to live near their workplaces. According to the union representing the workers, and housekeepers, dishwashers, cooks, and waiters are among the strikers. The union declared the walkout a day after workers' contracts had expired at more than 60 hotels. The strike is one of the largest ones hitting the hospitality industry in the U.S. The industrial action comes as a large number of tourists have arrived in the region for the 4th of July holiday weekend. It has also coincided with a prolonged Hollywood writers' walkout in California. Now to the front line of the Russia-Ukraine war. The Deputy Defense Minister of Ukraine has reported fierce fighting, saying Russian troops are advancing in four areas in the country's east. Ganamaliar also said Ukrainian troops are making progress with partial success on the southern flank of the flashpoint city of Bakhmut, which had fallen to Russian hands in late May. Maliar said that Ukrainian troops are moving forward in the south despite stiff resistance. Kiev launched its counteroffensive last month to retake lost territories, but it has failed to make headway so far. The latest developments on the ground come as Russia carried out an overnight drone attack on Kiev for the first time in 12 days. Well, Sweden has condemned the desecration of the Holy Quran in Stockholm after days of angry protests across the Muslim world. The Swedish Foreign Ministry described the move as Islamophobic and offensive to Muslims. It said the blasphemy was committed by individuals at a demonstration and in no way reflects the views of the Swedish government. Sweden had given permission for the desecration to go ahead, citing freedom of expression. People in some Muslim countries urge their governments to sever diplomatic ties with Stockholm, as Swedish envoys were summoned. There have also been calls to boycott Swedish products, including by Egypt's University of Al-Azhar. Pakistan's Istiqam party started a hashtag to boycott Swedish brands, which soon became a top trend on Twitter. Now, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation has called for collective measures to prevent future acts of desecration.
Anger is boiling across Islamic countries following the desecration of the holy book Quran in Sweden. In the latest move, Iraqi protesters in Baghdad gathered near the Swedish embassy carrying placards reading Quran is our constitution. Several other Iraqi cities witnessed similar protests. The sacrilegious act also triggered condemnations and outrage elsewhere in the Muslim world. In Bahrain, protesters chanted slogans in support of Islam and the holy book Quran. They also urged Muslims to unite. Iranian protesters also gathered outside the Swedish embassy in the capital Tehran to condemn the blasphemous act. Protesters carried signs reading "Down with the enemies of the Quran." They demanded the closure of the Swedish embassy. The move also drew reactions from Iranian government officials. President Ebrahim Raisi said the Muslim world will never overlook the recent act of sacrilege against the holy book Quran in a Western country. He made the remarks while addressing a Friday prayer event. Raisi said Quran was disrespected in a Western country that claims to defend the freedom of expression. Iran's foreign ministry summoned Swedish chargé d'affaires in Tehran over the recent incident. Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian expressed strong criticism of the Swedish government for allowing and supporting the desecration of the holy book. He said the Muslim world categorically condemns insult to holy scriptures and Quran. Allowing sacrilege and insult to Quran under any justification by Sweden is unacceptable. The top diplomat added misusing democracy and freedom for such behavior would only incite terrorism and extremism. Other Muslim nations also reacted. Pakistan condemned what it called a despicable act of publicly burning Quran in Sweden. Morocco recalled its ambassador to Sweden for an indefinite period. Turkey, Jordan, Qatar, Egypt, Syria, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and other Islamic nations warned such acts inflame feelings of Muslims worldwide. The sacrilege has also raised calls to boycott Swedish products. Al-Azhar University in Egypt has called for the boycott. The General Secretariat of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is also set to hold a meeting next week to discuss measures against the desecration.
Going back to a previous story, our top story, of course, of the hour, and dealing with the Israel's incursion, of course, and the West Bank, and we're reporting at least 8 people, Palestinians, have been killed, of course, in the Jenin refugee camp attacked. And also in Gaza now, they have had a demonstration, I'm understanding. We're going to cross over to Gaza City and speak to our correspondent there, Ashraf Shannon. Ashraf, just fill us in on the latest and what's going on.
The anger is boiling throughout Palestine and in Gaza as resistance groups and popular committees have called for protests this evening to condemn the ongoing Israeli attacks against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank town, refugee camp of Jenin that claimed the lives of nearly 10 Palestinians. Since last night. This while Hamas movement said that the Israeli regime forces will be defeated and will not come out of the Jenin refugee camp as victorious, and also condemned what described as barbaric acts by Israeli forces, especially the targeting of civilians and of civilian infrastructure. Earlier today, the Jenin municipality warned of the humanitarian situation in Jenin because Israeli forces have been attacking the water infrastructure in Jenin, and there is acute shortages in water in the refugee camp. Meanwhile, the joint operation room of the resistance factions said that it's been on high alert since the start of this Israeli onslaught against the Jenin refugee camp, and has warned the Israeli regime against continuing such acts against the resistance and against the people of Jenin. Analysts are saying that there is a possibility that if this Israeli aggression does not end in the coming hours, Palestinian resistance groups might fire rockets towards the Israeli regime, as they will not sit idle while Palestinians are being killed in the occupied West Bank.
And Ashraf, do you have any latest reports about what is taking place still in Jenin? I know that you're in Gaza. But what we have, thousands of Israeli soldiers have attacked the refugee camp. And as you said, at least 9 Palestinians have been killed. We also have reports of fatalities from the Israeli side. Of course, hard to verify because the Israelis do not want to admit that they have any casualties. They're reporting at least one Israeli soldier is injured. We have that several were injured and perhaps 2 or 3 were killed. Just tell me any additional information that you may have on what is taking place right now in Jenin.
Over the past few hours, the Al-Quds Brigades, the military wing of the Islamic Jihad, said that it has shut down another Israeli military drone. This brings to 3 the number of Israeli drones that were shut down since last night. This while Hamas's military wing, the Azim Qassam Brigades, in the Jenin refugee camp, has announced that it used a high explosive IED called Tariq 1 to attack Israeli soldiers. And earlier they have said that they have used several IEDs against Israeli APCs or armored personnel carriers, as well as bulldozers in the area, and they said that they dare the Israeli regime to declare the number of Israeli fatalities and Israeli injuries. It seems that the Palestinian resistance fighters are quite sure that they have killed some Israeli soldiers during this ongoing Israeli onslaught against Jenin.
And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
Scientists have been warning about the loss of Arctic summer sea ice for decades. Now researchers say complete loss of Arctic summer sea ice is currently inevitable. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Common Dreams noted, scientists have recently warned that the planet is rapidly headed toward the consequences of the climate crisis that they have been warning about for decades, as researchers published a new study showing that a complete loss of Arctic sea ice in the summer months is now unavoidable. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report released in 2021 alarmed many with its warnings that if high or even intermediate planet-heating fossil fuel emissions continued, the Arctic would be ice-free by 2040s. But its authors implored policymakers to focus on their findings that the region would retain its summer ice if decisive action was taken to limit an increase in global temperature rises to 2 degrees Celsius or less. The new study published by researchers in South Korea, Germany, and Canada in Nature Communications found that even far-reaching action will no longer save the sea ice. The scientists found that even in a low-emission scenario, summer ice in the Arctic will be gone by 2050s. In an intermediate or high-emission scenario, which is far more likely, considering the United States, the largest historic source of fossil fuel emissions, has recently moved to approve massive projects such as the Willow Oil Drilling Project and the Mountain Valley Pipeline. The Arctic will be ice-free in the summer months starting in 2030s. Dirk Notes, a climatologist at the University of Hamburg and co-author of the study, told The Guardian, "Unfortunately, it has become too late to save Arctic summer sea ice. As scientists, we've been warning about the loss of Arctic summer sea ice for decades. This is now the first major component of the Earth system that we are going to lose because of global warming. People didn't listen to our warnings." The researchers examined satellite data and climate models to analyze changes in the Arctic sea ice between 1979 and 2019 and found that previous models underestimated ice melting trends and that 90% of the loss of sea ice was the result of human-caused planetary heating. Summer ice in the Arctic has receded by 13% each decade since 1979, they have found. According to Guardian, the planet is already experiencing the effects of increased open water in the Arctic during the summer month. Lead author Seung Kim Min of Pohang University in South Korea noted, and policymakers must now prepare communities to adapt to those impacts, including extreme weather events. Min told The Guardian, "The most important impact for human society will be the increase in weather extremes that we are experiencing now, such as heat waves, wildfires, and floods. We need to reduce CO2 emissions more ambitiously and also prepare to adapt to this faster Arctic warming and its impacts on human society and ecosystems. The loss of summer sea ice would trigger a feedback loop known as Arctic amplification, with the dark ocean absorbing more solar heat and causing additional planetary warming. Arctic warming has also changed weather patterns in the northern hemisphere, such as storm formation and wind speeds, leading to extreme heat and rainfall. Min told CNN, "We need to prepare ourselves for a world with warmer Arctic very soon." The earlier onset of an ice-free Arctic also implies that we will be experiencing extreme events faster than predicted. Scientists last year said the extreme heat wave that struck Pakistan and India was made 30 times more likely due to planetary heating, and officials called the flooding that killed more than 1,000 people and displaced hundreds of thousands in Pakistan climate dystopia at our doorstep. Min said the impending loss of summer sea ice in the Arctic is a tipping point and a sign that the region is seriously ill. Min told CNN, "We can regard the Arctic sea ice as the immune system of our body, which protects our body from harmful things. Without the protector, the Arctic's condition will go from bad to worse quickly."
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين. Talking about the 31st letter of Nahj al-Balagha, written from Amir al-Mu'in alayhi salam to his son Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba as the commandment for or letter of will for Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he describes the stance or defines and clearly draws the image of who we are in this dunya by saying that we are the Halif al-Humum. We are an ally. Halif means ally or someone who is in unionship with the Humum, with the worries and with the sorrows of this dunya. Qarin al-Ahzan. Qarin al-Ahzan. This is what that the majority of the people in this world are being a target of. Neighbor of griefs. And look, if we become truly mu'min, the Holy Quran says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهُ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has reached this state of becoming awliya Allah, they do not have huzn and they do not have fear, khawf. Huzn returns to what? Huzn is usually refers to the past. If you have made mistake, if you regret something we have done in the past, we have griefs over it. We wish or we regret it. We wish that we would get another chance to make up for it, to compensate for what we have done wrong in the past. Imam says, any human being in this dunya is قرين الأحزان. They are the neighbor of griefs because of what they have done in the past. And this is the initial level for those who have not built their nafs, who have not combated their egos, who have been without any guidance and living a happy, comfy life. And then as we grow, as we become better, our huzn doesn't fade away. It becomes a better huzn, a deeper huzn. For example, the sorrows that we have will not be summarized to this worldly sorrows. Oh, I'm not just sorrowful because I'm having certain health condition or my children are suffering from certain things. Rather, my huzn becomes being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being away from our beloved Imam of time. The huzn becomes meaningful. This sorrow and grief that we have will become meaningful. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back again.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Gate of Knowledge is a beautiful program that talks about the 31st letter of Nahjul Balagha from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. We are talking about the fact that in this world, we, all of us, we are neighbor of griefs. But what really defines our status, what really differentiates between each and every one of us is the type of the grief that we have. The better we become, the more complete we become, the more we spiritually get elevated and grow, the grief that we have will become more meaningful. If someone is shedding tears for the cause of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that means they're such a great people. That means that they have left aside their own personal griefs from this dunya and they have only focused on the importance of this life, the essence of this life. They have become a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all neighbors of ahzan. We are all neighbors of sorrows. But we choose what type of sorrow we intake. If that sorrow and pain will grow us a stronger person, a better person, or would it weaken us? Let's ask ourselves this question repetitively and over the course of time. And then Imam says, victim of distress. When nusubil afat. Look, one of my friends is working in a pharmacy in one of the Western countries. And he was telling me, brother, do you know what is the majority of medications people purchase? Or what is the majority of prescriptions asking in our pharmacy? And I was wondering, I said, is it related to heart disease? Is it related to certain type of health condition? He said, no, majority of them are anti-stress, anti-depression medications that we are selling. And he was wondering, he said, I always wonder why in this world that we have so much of comfort and convenience that is accessible to us. We have better cars compared to the people who were living before us. We have better houses. We have access to more technology compared to any time prior to us in the history. Yet, depression is at its most. Suicide is at its highest rate, especially in the countries that they advertise a better life, a more convenient life. Let's take another break and we'll get back together.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Dear respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, the program Gate of Knowledge, we were talking about the 31st letter of Nahjul Balagha. We got to the point that in this life of dunya, we are all nusub al-afat, the victims of distresses. The lives that we have made for ourselves is really a prison of dreams and sorrows and pains of the past and the fears that we have about future. And the only way to get freed from such prison that we have made for ourselves is to become truly mu'min, to believe in Allah and have that belief to become a part of our spirit. Let it enter our hearts. Let what we claim that we believe and we have faith in enter our heart. Then Imam says, وَنُصُبِ الْآفَادِ وَالسَّرِيءِ الشَّهَوَاتِ, who has been overpowered, who has been defeated, who is on the ground by the desires. This is in fact the result or the consequence of following shahawat. You become sari', you become overpowered, you get defeated, you lose everything. There have been so many people and individuals in the course throughout the history who have had special abilities and great potentials to do greatest things in science, in any field that they were in. But because of following their desires, their abilities and their skills and their potentials all got wasted and faded away just because of following shahawat. So Imam says, a human being is sari' al-shahawat, overpowered by the desires. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us control over our desires so that inshallah we can express our potentials towards implementing them into the right goals in life. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome.
وبالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Nearly 170,000 workers left their jobs in the National Health Service in England last year, meaning a record number of people quit the NHS. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Observer has covered this story and tells us more. Nearly 170,000 workers left their jobs in the National Health Service in England last year in a record exodus of staff struggling to cope with some of the worst pressures ever seen in the country's healthcare system. More than 41,000 nurses were among those who left their jobs in the National Health Service hospitals and community health services, with the highest number leaving for at least a decade. The number of staff leaving overall rose by more than a quarter in 2022, compared to 3 years earlier, 2019. The figures in the National Health Service workforce statistics of those leaving active service since 2010, analysed by The Observer, show the scale of the challenge facing Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Sunak launched a new workforce plan on Friday, 30th of June, to train and keep more staff within the NHS. Sir Julian Hartley, chief executive of NHS providers, said, "Staff did brilliant work during the pandemic, but there has been no respite. The data on people leaving is worrying, and we need to see it reversed. We need to focus on staff well-being and continued professional development, showing the employers really do care about their frontline teams." Sir Julian Hartley said he welcomed the workforce plan by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, particularly the expansion of apprenticeship routes for clinical staff and the ambition to train more staff and reduce reliance on international recruitment and agency workers. In the year to 31st of December 2022, 169,512 staff left the National Health Service in hospitals, community health services and other core health organisations, compared to 149,678 the previous year. The figures are for all staff, including doctors, nurses, ambulance staff, managers, support workers and technical staff. Experts believe that 2022 may be a peak year for NHS departures because of those who may have deferred retirement because of the pandemic, but there has been a surge in employees citing work-life balance as the reason for quitting. The number of staff who quit the National Health Service citing work-life balance stood at 27,546 in 2022, more than those who left because they had reached retirement age, which was 24,143. Billy Palmer, a senior fellow at the Nuffield Trust, an independent health think tank, said it was fairly staggering that the numbers leaving the National Health Service citing work-life balance as a reason exceeded those who had reached their retirement age under their pension scheme. Research by the Nuffield Trust has found the number of National Health Service workers citing work-life balance and health as reasons for quitting have roughly quadrupled in the last decade. Betty Palmer said no one has been really able to explain why activity in the National Health Service hasn't kept track with the increasing number of staff, and I think part of that is because of the churn. We're filling those staff gaps quickly in increasing numbers, but it comes at a cost. We're losing experienced people. He said the numbers leaving last year were likely to be influenced by the pandemic, and figures for the first quarter of this year showed a straight fall in the leaving rate. The British government says the proportion of medical staff who leave has been broadly stable over the last decade, although an analysis by the Nuffield Trust last year found the leaving rate for nurses at the highest level in figures published from 2010. Under the NHS workforce plan, there will be an expansion of apprenticeship routes for clinical staff and more training of staff to reduce reliance on international recruitment and on agency staff. There are plans to expand general practitioner training places by 50% to 6,000 a year by 2031-2032. But a survey of the members of the Royal College of General Practitioners in 2022 found 39% of the general practitioner workforce across the United Kingdom were seriously considering leaving the profession in the next 5 years. GP leaders say the government needs to do more to recognise the vital role of medical practices to retain staff. Dr. David Wrigley, deputy chair of the GP committee in England, said the mental stress that general practitioners are under is incredible. Those who are in their mid-career or late career and may want to stay on feel they can't because of their mental health. We are seeing incredibly high demand. We're delivering more and more, and we're getting less and less. NHS England says the expansion of training programmes and measures to improve retention rates could mean the health service has at least an extra 60,000 doctors and 170,000 more nurses by 2036-2037. Amanda Pritchard, the NHS chief executive, said last week, "We will take practical and sustained action to retain existing talent, and we will recruit and train hundreds of thousands of more people." The BBC has also covered the same story. Staff sickness in the National Health Service in England has reached record levels. Figures for 2022 show an absence rate, the proportion of days lost, of 5.6%, meaning the National Health Service lost the equivalent of nearly 75,000 staff to illness. This is higher than during the peak pandemic years of 2020-2021, and a 29% rise on the year 2019. Mental health problems were the most common cause, responsible for nearly a quarter of the absences, the Nuffield Trust analysis of official National Health Service data shows. Big rises were also seen in cold, coughs, infections and respiratory problems, likely to be linked to the continued circulation of COVID, as well as the return of flu last year. There were three categories covering these types of illnesses. If combined, they would be responsible for more sickness than mental health. The think tank warned the National Health Service was stuck in a seemingly unsustainable cycle of increased workload and burnout, which was contributing to staff leaving the NHS. The analysis comes ahead of the publication of the government and NHS England's long-awaited workforce plan. Nuffield Trust senior fellow Dr. Billy Palmer said, "The health service is grappling with a difficult new normal when it comes to staff sickness leave. There has been a lot of focus on recruitment, but we need more endeavour to improve the working conditions of existing staff and protect them from illness. The workforce plan needs to have concrete support to enable employers to improve NHS staff experience if the service is to break this cycle of staff absences sickness, and leaving rates. The National Health Service sickness rate, the highest since records began in 2010, is above the public sector average of 3.6%. The Nuffield Trust warned it was likely to be an undercount of the true figure, as not every absence would have been recorded. And while recording systems differed in Wales and Scotland, it was clear that those nations were also seeing increased levels of sickness in the National Health Service. Miriam Deakin of NHS Providers, which represents health managers, said the findings laid bare the psychological strain on NHS staff. She said the absences came on top of the 110,000 vacancies in the healthcare service and warned the situation was having a knock-on effect on patient care. Unison Head of Health Sarah Gorton said the rise in illness was due to the unrelenting pressure on NHS staff. Until the National Health Service has sufficient employees to care for and treat all the people needing its help, absence levels will keep going through the roof. If there's to be a healthy National Health Service, it first needs a healthy workforce.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about vitality and good health, or what we refer to in Arabic as afiyat. This is one of the bounties and blessings that Allah has given people. In fact, it could be one of the blessings that we take for granted, you know. It's a very famous hadith from the Holy Prophet in which he said that there's two blessings which people take for granted. One is good health. The actual wording of that hadith is sihat, not afiyat, but they're very close to one another. Wal amn, and security, right? We don't really realize the value of these until we lose them. God protect us all from such a calamity. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, vitality is the most beneficial of bounties, al-afiyah, ahnan ni'am. Obviously, if we're healthy, if we're vital, we have, you know, good health, then we can enjoy the other bounties that Allah has given us. Otherwise, you know, those other bounties that we might have are useless, you know, our wealth, our family, and whatever, you know, bounties we have, we won't be able to really enjoy them and take pleasure in them if we are not vital and we don't have health. Perhaps it's because of this that the Imam said, there is no garment more beautiful than vitality. La libasa ajmal min al-afiya. And he has also been narrated as having said, the pleasure of living is to be found through vitality. This is a very beautiful hadith. Bil afiya tujadu ladhatul hayat. And we can only take pleasure in life when we're healthy and when we're vital. And that's why, you know, this is a great blessing. And we have, in fact, been asked by our religious leaders to seek this blessing out from Allah. In one beautiful hadith, it's been narrated that the Prophet said, Allah is not asked anything more beloved to him than to be asked for vitality and good health. And he said, ask Allah for vitality and health, for verily, after conviction, meaning after yaqeen, no one is given anything better than vitality. And in a final hadith, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam has been narrated as having bumped into the shoulder of a man while he was circling the Kaaba, saying, O Allah, verily I ask you for patience. Upon which the Imam said, you have asked to be tried. And you've asked Allah to give you a trial in which you could be patient. Say instead, O Allah, verily I ask you for vitality and for the ability to thank you for my vitality and health and my afiyat. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at vitality and good health in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the Palestinian Information Center says that during the month of June, 24 more Palestinians were killed on the West Bank. Five of them were kids or teens. And since the beginning of this year, 186 Palestinians on the